Let me introduce you to Jeremy Scahill. Jeremy is a journalist who has written a book called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. You heard me talking about Blackwater 3 years ago when four Blackwater employees were caught in that horrible situation in Fallujah in March of 2004, where they were caught in an ambush. Their Humvees were burned. They burned. Their bodies were pulled apart and hung in effigy on that bridge, one of the ugliest moments of this war in Iraq. We've also talked about Blackwater after having Robert Greenwald on the show last year to talk about his movie Iraq for Sale. And we had screenings of that movie here in town. And so this is kind of a continuation of some of that discussion. Jeremy, welcome to KMOX.
Good to be with you, Paul.
Let's start with the Fallujah Four, as I call them, these Blackwater employees, and that incident I alluded to in March of 2004. The families are suing Blackwater, aren't they?
Right, and I've gotten to know those families very well over the years, and it's interesting because these are all, for the most part, middle American families. Several of them are conservative Republicans, and their loved ones went over to Iraq to work for Blackwater USA as private bodyguards, but all of those families thought that they were going over there to protect Paul Bremer, the Bush administration's first envoy in Iraq, and they had no idea that they were going to be protecting empty flatbed trucks in the service of a private catering company, which is what they were doing the day that they were killed. And the fact is that when they rolled into Fallujah on the morning of March 31st, 2004, the U.S. military had declared Fallujah a no-go zone. And so not even heavily armored vehicles from the U.S. military would go into the center of town. These guys end up driving smack into the center of what was probably the most dangerous city in the world in unarmored vehicles. They weren't driving Humvees. They were driving Pajero Jeeps that only had reinforced bumpers. They were sent out that day on their mission short two men. So they had two Pajero Jeeps protecting a three-truck convoy. There was a Blackwater driver in the lead vehicle and a navigator, but there was no rear gunner. Then the three Iraqi flatbed trucks were behind them, and then there was another Pajero Jeep in the rear, again, with only a driver and a navigator and no rear gunner. They pull into the center of Fallujah. Insurgents come up and literally just gun down the guys inside of the rear vehicle. The lead vehicle from Blackwater realizes an ambush is underway. They either turn around to try to get away or to go back and help their comrades. They, too, are overtaken by resistance fighters. And then the scene that unfolded is well known. Iraqis descended on the bodies, tore them apart, burned them, dragged them through the streets, and then hung them from the bridge over the Euphrates River.
So the families of these four guys are suing Blackwater on what basis?
Right. I mean, if you look at the contracts these guys signed, and I obtained those contracts, there's almost a page that lists every possible way a human being could be killed, including falling debris from the sky. And they signed a contract that said, you know, if we get killed or injured, we won't sue Blackwater. And so you could say, oh, end of story. They signed this paper. It's done. Well, the families, as they started to investigate the ambush of their loved ones, realized that they were operating under a contract that said explicitly, you're going to be given armored vehicles. You're going to have three men to a vehicle. You're going to have heavy weaponry. You're going to have 24 hours to do a risk assessment before being sent into any area in Iraq. And the families alleged that none of that was true. And so what they say is that Blackwater defrauded their loved ones and ultimately is responsible for their deaths. And so they filed a groundbreaking wrongful death lawsuit against Blackwater in January of 2005. And it's been making its way through the court system, and Blackwater's enlisted some serious high-powered lawyers to try to fight back this case. The first lawyer that Blackwater hired was Fred Fielding, who's now Bush's White House counsel, and their current counsel of record is none other than Ken Starr, the man who led the impeachment charge against President Clinton. But even with their high-powered lawyers, the courts have ruled on the side of the families at every step, and now it looks like it's going to go ahead in state court in North Carolina, where there would be no cap on damages. A jury could award the families for the deaths of these four guys.
And it's filed in North Carolina because that's where the corporate home of Blackwater is?
Right. Blackwater's based in Moyock, North Carolina, on the Great Dismal Swamp, and so that's where the lawsuit was originally brought, and Blackwater has tried to fight to get it heard either in federal court or to have it thrown out completely. And the argument Blackwater's making, they don't dispute at this point the specifics of the allegations, although I'm sure they will when it gets down to trial. But what they say is we can't be sued. We should be given the same immunity from civilian litigation as the U.S. military.
Wasn't there actually a bill that went through that does give them that immunity?
No, what happened was that Paul Bremer, the day before he left Iraq in June of 2004, he issued an edict that immunized contractors from prosecution in Iraqi courts. There's no immunity granted to contractors for their operations in Iraq in U.S. courts. And so, and that's how the judges have ruled thus far in this proceeding. They've said, yes, these families do have a right to bring this case.
Okay. Whether we call them mercenaries or private contractors,
right,
or their own private army, how many are we talking about in Iraq and in Afghanistan?
Right. Well, in Iraq right now, there's between 130 and 145,000 active duty U.S. troops. And then you have 126,000 private contractors, 126,000 private contractors, according to General Peter Pace, the chair of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Now, of those 126,000, not all of them are Blackwater. Not all of them are heavily armed guys.
Some of them are guys from KBR who were doing laundry, right?
Yeah, they're driving trucks, they're doing laundry, they're serving meals, you know, they're setting up porta-johns. But the General Accounting Office, the Government Accounting Office says that there are 48,000 employees of private military companies, mercenary companies, whatever the term you want to use is. And of those, we probably have about 20 to 25,000 armed combatants who are engaged in some kind of military or paramilitary activity. And the most powerful among the companies providing those private soldiers to the administration is Blackwater USA.
Have we ever gone to war with this many private soldiers?
No. In the Gulf War, just to give you a sense of it, there were about 60 soldiers for every one contractor. In this war, it's about 1-to-1. From the moment that U.S. tanks rolled into Baghdad in March of 2003, they brought with them the largest army of private contractors ever deployed in a modern war zone.
Talking with Jeremy Scahill, his book is called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army, here on the Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX. What is wrong with the idea of privatizing war?
Well, I think there's a number of ways to look at this. First of all, despite all the rhetoric coming from the industry, it's not cheaper. The fact is that these companies take guys who we've spent millions of U.S. taxpayer dollars training. They then take them out of the military and repackage them to the government as private soldiers. So the financial cost to taxpayers is tremendous. I mean, we've spent about $4 billion on these armed military contractors in Iraq alone over the past 4 years. But then there's a much deeper, I think, concern about using these kinds of forces. You take the citizenry out of the equation of waging war. The Bush administration failed to build a coalition of willing nations to go into Iraq, so they built a coalition of billing corporations.
I like
Blackwater,
for instance,
they try to portray themselves as this all-American company, and yet they go into Chile, and they hire up Chilean mercenaries who were trained under Augusto Pinochet's regime, hire them up, and send them over to Iraq, even though Chile declined to participate in the invasion or an occupation of Iraq. They hire up their countrymen and send them over there. They've recruited guys from Chile, from Colombia, from Fiji, from Bulgaria, and the list goes on and on. So that's our coalition of the willing over there in Iraq. It's mercenaries that have been hired by Blackwater and other companies.
And I want to go back to something you mentioned there, the idea of our own military guys going to work for a company like Blackwater. I would guess that this kind of depletes our veteran force, guys who may have been in the military, even if they've just gone through one or two stints in the military, or guys who have been in for 15 years or 20 years. Maybe they've even gotten to the 20-year mark and they're, thinking about retiring, but they still like the idea of being part of a military organization. Now, here's Blackwater, which I'm sure pays a lot more than the U.S. Army, Marines, Air Force, and Navy. And so let's, woo these guys away, and we'll pay them more, and they'll be private contractors. And sure, we'll build ourselves up, but we're depleting the armed forces, aren't we?
Right. There's a serious crisis of morale right now in the field among the rank-and-file forces. Because look at it this way. If you're a kid who signed up to serve in the Missouri National Guard or the Pennsylvania National Guard and, you wanted to fight floods and help your community, next thing you know, you're over in a hellhole of Bakuba. You don't have body armor. You're wearing a flak jacket from the Vietnam era. And you look at a Blackwater convoy whiz by, and you're getting paid $28,000 to $40,000 a year, and you know that those Blackwater Blackwater guys are getting, some of them, $30,000 a month to be in the exact same war zone with better equipment, better weapons, better insurance policies. You know, you've got your pregnant wife back home, and you're sitting there thinking, you know, what the hell kind of message is my country sending me? You know, they're paying these guys in a month what I get in a year, and I don't even have good body armor over here. And so one of two things happen. Either they have an extraordinary level of resentment against those private forces, or they say, I want to be like them. I want to join up with Blackwater and leave the active duty military. And so you have a crisis right now, particularly in the special forces community, where you have a lot of guys, as they call it, going Blackwater, where you go over to the private sector to make a lot more money.
Does that also mean that these guys may claim that they are warriors for peace, but in fact they are mercenaries for money?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's a couple of different kinds of guys who sign up for work with Blackwater and other companies. I think you have a lot of guys who believe that they're just extending their patriotic service to their country through the private sector. Finally, they're getting paid some real money to put their lives on the line, and they feel like, you know, look, I spent 12, 15 years serving my country getting paid peanuts. Heck yeah, I'm going to sign up for a six-figure salary to go and fight in a war I believe in. I think you also have guys who are just straight-up thuggish, you know, soldiers for hire, mercenary types who want to go over there for their own, you know, personal gain. And I think that what Blackwater's been very effective at doing is tapping into the patriotism of their forces, and at the same time tapping into the financial needs of a lot of these guys who don't quite know what to do with themselves after they leave the military.
The book is called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy Scahill returns in just a moment here on The Paul Harris Show on News Talk 1120 KMOX.
Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling. Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me? Oh, Blackwater, keep on rolling. Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
See, Blackwater used to be a great classic rock song by the Doobie Brothers. Now it's a company that sends paid mercenaries all around the world, and tens of thousands of them are now in Iraq and Afghanistan, side by side with our men and women in the uniform of the United States of America. Do the people in Blackwater wear uniforms, Jeremy?
Well, they have Blackwater uniforms, and they, in fact, they manufacture their own clothing line. You can go onto Blackwater's website and buy some very, what we call it, war chic gear.
Oh, I'll do that as soon as we're done talking here.
You can also buy Blackheart, the Blackwater teddy bear.
Wow.
I was kidding, but I'm not.
Jeremy Scahill's book is called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Did companies like Blackwater come about because during the Clinton years we had a big drawdown of the U.S. military?
Right. I mean, Clinton played a huge role in laying the groundwork for the rise of a company like Blackwater. And in fact, it was under the Clinton administration that Blackwater was given its vending license with the federal government, sort of the Walmart of government shopping. So Blackwater, when Clinton was president, was approved to be a federal vendor marketing its goods and services to federal agencies. But it goes back even a little bit further than Clinton to the George H.W. Bush White House when Dick Cheney was defense secretary. Every year he was defense secretary, he scaled back the size of the active duty military. And right at the end of his term in office as defense secretary, he commissioned a study from, you can guess what company, Halliburton. The company he would go on to head, and the study that Halliburton performed looked at how to privatize the military bureaucracy. But at that point, it was just the food servicing, the laundry, the driving of trucks, etc. Fast forward to George W. Bush's administration, and we're not only outsourcing all of those jobs, but now we're outsourcing a part of the combat operations as well. You know, the U.S. military isn't guarding the U.S. ambassador in Iraq right now. It's Blackwater that's guarding the U.S. ambassador in Iraq.
And as we've learned from the Inspector General inside the Pentagon, these things are costing us more than they would have if it had been our own Marines doing that job.
Right. It's one of those things where you defund all of these programs and then you complain that the machine is broken. And then the solution is to go and hire your friends to do the job from the private sector.
And when you say friends, these are people who are at the top of Blackwater who have big connections inside government, right?
Right. I mean, you know, in some cases we talk about a revolving door between the private sector and government. In the case of Blackwater, you just have a bridge that goes from Blackwater to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue.
And the Pentagon and Congress, right?
And intelligence agencies, right. I mean, it's not just the lawyers. You know, Fred Fielding was Blackwater's lawyer. Now he's Bush's lawyer. Kofor Black was the head of counterterrorism at the CIA, the man in charge of the hunt for bin Laden, which went really well and continues to go really great.
Yeah.
So he now is the number two guy. Blackwater. The number three guy at Blackwater used to be the Pentagon Inspector General under Donald Rumsfeld. He resigned under pressure from Republican Senator Chuck Grassley, saying that he wasn't doing his job right. So he goes over and takes up employment with Blackwater. Robert Richer, the ex-deputy director of operations at the CIA, he's a senior executive at Blackwater. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, Blackwater is filled with, you don't have to go back to the Reagan administration or the George H.W. Bush administration to find the connections to the White House. You can just look at Blackwater's, executive board.
I'm going to take some phone calls here in a moment. 314-436-7900, toll-free, 800-925-1120. I'm guessing with those kind of connections, companies like Blackwater get no-bid contracts?
Oh, yeah. I mean, a great deal of the contracts that Blackwater has won have been either no-bid or sole-source contracts, where Blackwater is the only company that was considered for it.
And what kind of oversight is there?
Did you say oversight?
I did.
None.
So these
seriously, there's almost no oversight whatsoever. I mean, we have a situation where during the years of the Republican Congress, what happened is that the Congress worked actively to try to shield the contractors from any oversight. Now the Democrats take power, and they're starting to wake up to this issue. But really, it's a very sleepy Congress when it comes to looking at the issue of these private war contractors. And we're not talking about pennies here. I mean, Blackwater, just on one State Department contract alone, has been awarded $750 million, $750 million, just to provide diplomatic security for the State Department. So when Nancy Pelosi goes over to Iraq, it's Blackwater that guards her, not the U.S. military.
That's unbelievable. That is $750 million tax dollars going to pay non-U.S. soldiers to guard the Speaker of the House and others when they go on diplomatic missions.
Right, and the U.S. ambassador and others. And that's just since June of 2004. That contract will continue to grow. That's just a contract from June of 2004 till now. And that doesn't include Blackwater's work for the CIA, for the Pentagon, for private companies. That's just one contract with the State Department.
Unbelievable. 314-436-7900, toll-free, 800-925-1120. Tom, you're on the Paul Harris Show. Say hi to Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy. Hey, Jeremy, can you help me? I thought there were laws on the books that kept private citizens from going to war in foreign countries.
Right. Well, I think you're raising a question that I get a lot, and the way that they're getting around it here is that the company itself has a contract with a federal agency, and so technically Blackwater's work in Iraq is being done through the U.S. State Department. Where the real relevance of your question comes into play is when you have KBR, which is a private company operating in Iraq, and then they hire Blackwater, which is a private company operating in Iraq. Where's the legality of that? Who's overseeing those operations? And the answer is no one is.
If there's lack of oversight on step one, there's certainly no oversight on step two.
Right, exactly. And the other thing is that these guys aren't just operating in Iraq and Afghanistan. They're here in the United States. Bush hired Blackwater to engage in security operations in New Orleans after Hurricane Katrina. I was down there, and I talked with Blackwater guys. The company sent down 184 guys right after the hurricane hit, and I met them on the streets of New Orleans. I was standing on a corner talking to two New York City cops. An unmarked compact car speeds up next to us. Three massive guys get out of it. They're wielding M4 guns, pistols strapped to their legs. They come up to the police officers and they say, "Where are the rest of the Blackwater guys?" The cops say, "Oh, they're down the street." And I said, "Blackwater? You mean like the guys in Iraq?" And the cops said, "Oh, yeah, they're all over the place." So I go and I find some of these Blackwater guys, start talking to them. They told me they were there to confront criminals and stop looters. And I asked, under whose authority are you operating down here? And they kind of fumbled around, and one guy flashes a gold badge. He says, "I was deputized by the governor of the state of Louisiana." Another guy said they were sleeping in a camp organized by the Department of Homeland Security. And it turns out that, in fact, Bush had hired Blackwater to engage in security operations. The guys on the ground said they were making $350 a day, and they were complaining that that wasn't enough. When I got Blackwater's contracts, they were billing us, taxpayers, $950 per man per day to do security in Hurricane Katrina.
And paying the guys $350 a day. By the way, how much were those New York cops getting, do you think?
No, those guys came down there to volunteer on their own time.
That's my point.
I'm going to throw up.
That's my point. There are cops who from all over the country went down there to help for free.
Cops, firefighters took vacation time to go down there. Some of the local forces actually, they paid their guys overtime to do it. But the fact is that why wasn't the National Guard there? Oh, yeah, I forgot. They were in Afghanistan and Iraq. And so you hire a mercenary company whose executives are drawn from the White House or give major campaign contributions to Republican causes, and you hire them to the tune of $950 a day per man to go down and do who knows what in New Orleans.
So we had not only Brownie doing a heck of a job, but Blackie, too.
Right, yeah, Blackwater down there with M4 guns when what was needed was food, water, evacuations. You have, you know, guys who 2 weeks earlier had been guarding John Negroponte are all of a sudden, you know, confronting criminals and stopping looters. And, you know, it's funny because sometimes I bring that up and some people say to me, well, what's so wrong with Blackwater going down there? There was a lot of crime, et cetera. Well, I'd like to ask, you know, conservative Republicans, how would you like it if the Maoist Youth Brigade showed up in New Orleans with M4 guns and said, well, we're here to keep the peace?
Tom, you got another question?
Yes, sir. How much of that emergency appropriation bill that's trying to be railroaded through Congress goes to these private contractors in the next year?
Yeah, that's a really great question, and I've tried to get a clear answer on that from Congress, and the best estimate that I've heard is that 40 cents of every dollar that's being spent currently on the occupation of Iraq goes to private military companies.
Wow.
Or contractors.
Yeah, I almost laughed out loud there when you said honest answer from Congress. Thanks for calling, Tom. Jeremy, stand by. We're coming back for another segment. The book is called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy Scahill here on The Paul Harris Show on KMOX. If you ever watch the CBS drama The Unit, that's a bunch of military guys who are always competing with some private mercenary contractors from a group called Blackthorn. They got that name because there's a real-life group of private contractor military mercenaries, whatever you want to call them, from a company called Blackwater USA, which is in Iraq and Afghanistan by the tens of thousands right now. Jeremy Scahill wrote about them in his book, Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. We just heard yesterday that the troops who are serving in Iraq are going to have their 12-month stay there extended to 15 months. And there are, of course, are arguments all across America and on Capitol Hill about drawing down our troops and getting us out of there. Would companies like Blackwater, Jeremy, like us to leave Iraq so that they can have a bigger presence there, or just the opposite?
Well, one of the big problems among many with the Democrats' so-called withdrawal plan is that they could have 40,000 active duty U.S. troops in Iraq. Let's say Bush didn't veto it and it went forward. The Democrats would have 40,000 active duty troops in Iraq at the end of next year and an unlimited number of contractors, because what the Bush administration could do is just backfill the numbers of troops on the ground, replacing the active duty troops with guns for hire. And so the Democrats are being very short-sighted on this. They're effectively ignoring half of the occupation force in their legislation, which is being blasted by both the right and the left. The left says it doesn't go far enough to stop the war. The right said it's playing chicken with the troops, et cetera. But then there's a whole other part of this that no one talks about, and that is that they're totally ignoring the contractors, which certainly plays into the hands of a White House bent on staying in Iraq.
Let me go back to the phones here. Tim, you're on KMOX. Say hi to Jeremy.
Jeremy, how's it going?
Okay.
Paul, how are you doing also?
Good.
Excellent. First, I want to say a great book. I just finished the Salvador Option chapter last night, and it's gotten a few questions for me, one of them being, since Eric Prince ended up taking the Chilean troops, the Chilean contractors, brought them into Blackwater, has there been a decrease in the ratio of Chilean and the other contractors versus the U.S. Troops that have gone to work for Blackwater? Excuse me, Blackwater.
Eric Prince, of course, is the founder of Blackwater and the guy who runs Blackwater. And beginning in late 2003, just to give the background to this, Blackwater started working with a Chilean recruiter who set up a camp inside of Chile, started putting ads in the paper for soldiers for hire to work for an American company. Blackwater sent down some evaluators to go and look at them, and then they began hiring up Chilean troops and sending them over to Iraq. What happened was that Blackwater got mad at their recruiter, and I tell this story in the book, because he started then providing guys to other companies, competitors of Blackwater. So Blackwater ended the relationship with their Chilean recruiter and then directly hired some of the Chileans. They also have Bulgarians working for them, and they hired Colombians. The Colombians got really mad because when they arrived in Iraq, they found out they were only going to be getting paid $34 a day. And the Bulgarians from Blackwater start laughing at them and saying, that means $1,000 a month. No one comes to Iraq for $1,000 a month. We're getting $4,000 a month, which is 4 days' pay of some of the American guys working for Blackwater. And so what they've done is they've taken people who are non-U.S. citizens, and they have them guarding facilities around Iraq. But we don't know the full numbers because it's not subject to any kind of congressional oversight.
What's funny about this is people complain when Dell Computers outsources its customer service line to Bangalore, India.
Right.
And here we are outsourcing our military to guys from Chile and you know, all over the world. And nobody even knows about it. Before I let you go here, I do have to ask you one basic question. These guys are not in our military, so they are not subject to the Uniform Code of Military Justice. Can they do, you know, can they arrest Iraqis who they see causing problems? What sort of authority do they have? And is there any kind of oversight of the military role that they're playing in Iraq right now?
Well, I'm glad that you asked that question, Paul, because this is actually something that's fascinating. Late last year, Lindsey Graham, who's a conservative South Carolina Republican senator, inserted language into the defense authorization bill that Bush signed into law that says that contractors will be subjected to the Uniform Code of Military Justice, the court-martial system. Now, that's yet to be tested. Right now, there's no effective law governing the presence of these forces in Iraq. There's no effective rules of engagement. But this is going to be a major constitutional battle that's going to go down about whether or not the court-martial system should apply to them or whether or not there needs to be some kind of effective civilian oversight of their operations. That's up in the air right now. The de facto is there's no system watching them.
Unbelievable. Jeremy Scahill has done some terrific reporting on Iraq, including Abu Ghraib, and now has this wonderful book. Well, wonderful if you really want to get yourself mad at what's happening with your own tax dollars and the war that you're funding. It's called Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Jeremy, thanks for your time today.
My pleasure.
Jeremy Scahill here on The Paul Harris Show on KMOX.